this morning. These are the nations that the Lord left. I want you to notice that word left, that God left. Not the devil, God did. In the land to test those Israelites who had not experienced the wars of Canaan. He did this to teach warfare. Everybody say warfare. Who had not, to generations of the Israelites who had not experienced, who were not experienced in battle. Check that out. And these are those nations. I'm going to stop right there. At the end of the message, I will tell you the names of those nations. But today, I want to begin a series. It may go 2 weeks. It may go three. You know me. I don't like to tie myself down. But I want to minister to you at least on a couple of weeks on becoming gladiators. Everybody say gladiators. How many gladiators do we have in the house of God? Come on. If you're a gladiator for God, can you make a little bit of noise this morning? Amen. And we're going to talk about being conditioned for conflict. Being conditioned for conflict. You know, it's always my desire on Sunday mornings to give you a Monday morning message. Not just a Sunday morning message, but it's always my goal to attempt to give you a Monday morning message. I'm talking about a message that will always manifest itself during your hard week. I mean, you know what a hard week can be like. Come on. I'm talking about a message that will stick to your spiritual ribs. That you just do not get happy in church on Sunday. That you walk it out Monday through Saturday. That is the type of message that I always endeavor to give to God's people. And I pray that this series, Becoming a Gladiator, I pray that it will impact your life in 2019, Monday through Saturday. Oh, you're not with me this morning. Let me say it this way. Today's church has become great of teaching people how to worship, how to create atmosphere. Come on. How to love and not judge. They're really good at that. Amen. This modern day church, they're good at teaching how to give and how to do these things. But yet we do a poor job, I'm being honest with you, from the messages I hear, we do a poor job of teaching God's people how to suffer. I'm gonna pause and let that sink in. How to endure conflict. Are you following me? How to fight. Everybody say fight. How many gladiators do I have in the house this morning? You see, the word of God today is often maligned. It is misused. It is misinterpreted. And it's also minimized to distract or to take away from what the passage is really saying. Can I give you a couple of examples? And I think you're going to follow my train of thought this morning. How many love Jeremiah 29? How many know Jeremiah 29:11? I'm sorry, 29:11. Come on. How many can quote that? Somebody quote that for me. Come on. Yes, close enough. I know the plans I have for you, thus saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Come on. I mean, wants to be prospered. Plans to bless you and to give you a future and expect the end. Here's what happens. We all get excited. God's got plans for me. But we throw biblical hermeneutics to the wayside. Because let me tell you what's happening in that passage. God said, yes, I have plans for you to have an expected end. I'm going to see you all the way through. I mean, no, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But hold on. Part of that story says this. My plan for you is for you to be captured for 70 years in Babylon. What happened to all that noise? Where'd it go? We have to interpret the Bible correctly, or we live a shallow walk in God. Let me give you another. How many love the scripture Apostle Paul said in his writings? Father me as I follow Christ. We think that's a challenge to you and I to imitate the way a man walks his good life. Now, although it does mean that, you know what Paul's really saying? Are you willing to walk the road? I mean, self-denial, persecution. I mean, gladiators to have. Are you willing to fight through your own feelings and do the right thing, regardless of whether you feel like it or not? Come on, church. Paul is saying, are you willing to walk this road of persecution? And we must understand, in order to become a gladiator, it takes a whole lot of training. Can I hear amen? Give you a word right now. It's a simple word. Christianity is not a cakewalk, but it's still the best walk. Come on, church. Jesus said, count the cost. If you're waiting for this walk in God to be easy, I'm telling you, it's going to take everything within you to die to yourself, to die to what you want to do, and stand up and become a gladiator and fight the good fight of faith and press through some stuff. How many gladiators do I have in the house? You see, the leverage, I'm going to teach today. Is teaching okay? I mean, like teaching. The leverage of a witness is always found only in the way we go through things. And still keep fruitful. Everybody smile at me. And still keep our faithfulness to God's house. Oh, somebody give him a praise this morning. Come on. You don't have a witness if every storm that blows your way, you're nowhere to be found. Come on, church. And you're complaining and you're whining and you're not standing up and becoming a gladiator and fighting for the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Can we be honest today? And we must understand that it's not a cakewalk, but it is still the best walk. May every one of us become a gladiator Christian this year in 2019. And also let us become a gladiator church that this community in this city will see. What is a gladiator? I'm glad you asked. It was a man back in the Roman days, the Roman Empire, most often a Roman slave. That's critical, I said, Roman slave. We'll get back to that later. And they were highly trained and disciplined to fight against other men or even wild beasts. In the arena, packed with spectators. Watch this. In an arena that was packed with spectators. Next week, I'm going to dive in more to what a gladiator was. But he will always do four things. He will, and we'll talk next week about this. He will fight only for the king. Come on. He will fight in front of a packed arena. And I'll explain this comment later. He will not fight for freedom. He will fight because of freedom. And you will also fight to the finish. You will fight unto the death. I'm going to ask you a question today as I ask myself this. What do others see in you when you step into the arena of life on Monday, all the way through Saturday? What do they see in you? I'm not talking about in church. Amen. Does your co-worker or your co-worshipper at the bridge, do they see a slave? Can those of a pop shock some of you and say they should? I mean, know the words of Apostle Paul. I am a what? Slave to the things of God. A gladiator realizes that he's dead to self. He's not free to act up or to act out or to get offended. Is somebody with me today? They're not free to do what they feel. They belong to someone else. A gladiator realizes that he's part of a bigger team. It's called Team Jesus. Come on. How many's part of Team Jesus? Raise your hand. How many's part of Team Bridge of Hope? Raise your hand. Come on, church. We don't live life into our own. We've been bought with the price. We do not own ourselves, but we are slaves to our master, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have to ask ourselves as we get conditioned for conflict, how do spectators see us? And I promise you, they're watching me and they're watching you. And the way we are trained, disciplined, and fight. Amen. How many wants to be a gladiator too? We're 19. Amen. Now, if you missed for the last month or two, we have been running the aisles and having church. Today, I like teaching because it makes us think, right? Now, watch this. God does something very remarkable in Judges 3:1. It might not do anything to you, but when I read this, I went, wow. I see a side of my God that a lot of people fail to recognize. In Judges 3:1, if you go there with me again, these are the nations that the Lord left in the land to test the Israelites who have never experienced the wars of Canaan. Let me pause and say it this way. In this particular chapter in the book of Judges, God is addressing a generation that had never experienced what it was like to come out of Egypt. Are you following me? That generation was gone. This is not the generation that experienced the exodus of Egypt. This was not the generation that had depended on the Red Sea parting in order to get far away from the enemy. This is not the generation that had to rely on the drinking water coming out of a rock. This was the generation, it was not the generation, Sister Gina, that had to rely on bread falling out of the sky every morning for breakfast. This is not the generation. Now follow me. This generation, in Judges 3:1, was the generation that was born in Canaan. They were born in blessing. I mean, it's been blessed. Can I take it further? You've been way too blessed. I've been way too blessed. Come on. America has been way too blessed. This is a generation that was born in blessing. They were able to eat fruit that they never even labored for. Now watch this. They never knew what it was like to struggle or to fight or to endure conflict. They did not know any of this. You know what they knew? I tell you what this generation knew in Judges. They knew Xbox. Are you with me? They only knew PlayStation 4. I killed. Oh, help me teach, church. Don't look at me like you're not guilty. They only knew Nintendo. They only knew Air Jordans. They only knew TVs in their own rooms. Right? They only knew remote controls. They had no idea what being a remote control meant. Oh, somebody help me. I tell you what being a remote control meant is when mom and daddy said, get your lazy butt off the couch, come on, and go turn the channel. We were human remote controls. But this is the generation that did not have to fight for anything. Are you hearing me, church? Do you see where I'm going? This was a generation that found it easy. This was a generation that were born. They were born in blessing. They had their iPads and their iPhones. And they never knew. And because of this, God is saying something shocking to me in this passage. And that is what it is to you that have grown up in Canaan. And you do not know what it even means to endure affliction and conflict and fighting. I tell you what I'm going to do for you, not the devil, God. I'm going to leave you enemy nations around you in order to teach you how to fight. Wow. I'm going to leave the enemy nations around you to teach you the art of war and to know how to fight. Bridge of Hope, this generation and Judges, they never possessed the skill to fight because they never had to fight to get it. Are you here? They never had to fight to get it. Because God knows that whatever is possessed must be protected. Are you hearing me? Whatever is gained must be maintained. Right? Because if you're going to get it, watch this. And even if you did not have to fight to get it, I'm talking to this generation, you're still going to have to fight to keep it. Did you get that? I'm not condemning this generation for not having to fight to get it. But I am telling you, you still have to fight to keep it. Are you hearing me? And that's the spirit of the word of the Lord today. Telling us that we need gladiators. Do I have any gladiators in the house? Because watch this. Whatever you get, watch this. Whatever you have, I've got a word for you. The devil's coming after it. Amen. If you have peace, guess what? The devil's coming after it. If you have joy, guess what? The devil's coming after it. If you have a healthy body, guess what? The devil is coming after it. Because whatever blessing you have, the devil don't like it. And he's going to come after it. Can I get an amen? And you better be ready to stand like a gladiator and say, I'm conditioned for the conflict. I've seen a fight before, and I'm not going to fall for it again. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Can you give him a hand clap of praise? He's worthy. Come on. Oh, can I get somebody this morning to testify? Have you ever had peace and lost it? Come on. I know some of you have. I know I have. How many's had joy only to lose it? How many's had a healthy body only to get sickness? Because whatever you have, the devil, mark my word, will be coming after it. Why does Pastor Roy always use those three words a lot? Peace, joy, and righteousness. Because, my friend, that is the kingdom of God. And that is the greatest witness known to man. That when you can go through hell just like your neighbor, but they don't know Jesus, that you know Jesus, and they think to themselves, they've got something that I don't have. They've got a joy even in the midst of the trouble. Oh, they got a peace even in the midst of the problem. They're living right. They're not going out and sinning in the Holy. Oh, I'm here to tell you, peace, joy, and righteousness is found in the Holy Ghost, which is the kingdom of God. And that's what the devil's after. He's after your peace. Because no peace can send you down a road of addiction. No joy can send you down a road of bondage. Come on. So whatever we have, not whatever we gain, we must maintain. And whatever we possess, we must protect. Right? Amen. He's a good God today. Know what it's like to have it, but to lose it. That's why Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I pray. Jesus is praying for you, by the way. Did you know Jesus is praying for you? Through the intercession of the office of the Holy Spirit, which is our interceder. And you know what he's saying? I pray, he said in John, that you bear much fruit. Wants to bear much fruit. Praise him. But he didn't stop there. He said, but most of all, I pray that your fruit, what? Remains. And lose me, you can get it and lose it. I said you can get it and lose it. I'll tell you one more time. You can get it and you can lose it. And Jesus said, I pray that your fruit remains. We're good at sprouting a leaf on Sunday. Only for that leaf to wilt on Monday. Right? Wants your fruit to remain in 2019? Wants to guard the blessings of God in your life like a gladiator? Oh, come on. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Oh, come on, church. He's going to protect your house. He's going to protect your children. He's going to protect your marriage. He's going to stand up and fight. Gladiators fight. So God strategically, wow, this is my God, your God I'm talking about. Not the devil, God. He strategically leaves the enemy in close proximity to us. He left them to test them and to train them in the art of war and how to fight. Amen. I want to give you three quick truths, okay? Dynamics of fighting, warfare, being conditioned for conflict. Number one is this. See the trial as training. Turn to your neighbor and say, see your trial as training. Gladiators are trained intensely. I love the words of Apostle Paul to spiritual son Timothy. He says, son, endure hardness as what? As a what? Good soldier. He's been in the military. You know basic training is not easy. Right? Now watch this. Can I paint a picture for a moment? See the trial as training. So here's God's people. All the enemy nations are surrounding them, okay? They're all nervous. They're all uptight. They're all just undone. They're complaining. How many's ever done that before? How many honest people do we have in the house? Come on, half of you are honest. They're all nervous, uptight, complaining. And here's God. He's sitting in the heavenlies. And let me use a little poetic justice if I can. He has his legs crossed and he's laughing. You know why? Because God knows this is just training. Your trial is just training. It's not going to kill you. It's just training. You know what God is saying? This is a test. Do I have anybody 50 years old and older? You can give me a shout. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. If this was a real emergency, this is only a test. But if it was a real emergency, please stand by. Come on, church. This is only a test. You must see your trial is only training. It's not going to kill you, whether you think it is or not. God is not stressed. He is not sweating. He is not worried. Come on, church. It's only a test. God left the enemies around his own people to train them on how to fight. Quit trying to pray your troubles away sometime, and sometimes surrender to them. I talk over here. Come on. Learn the lesson in the midst of the storm. God is training. God is teaching. This is only a test. Don't get all uptight. I'm not going to let those enemies kill you. I'm trying to train you. I'm trying to teach you. I mean, oh, this is a good word going into 2019. Can somebody give me a shout today? I mean, oh, nothing trains you like a trial. I mean, has ever been to trial before? I mean, oh, you don't learn prayer in a sermon, my friend. You learn prayer, God, oh, can somebody help me, in times of pressure. Now, you can learn the principles of prayer in a sermon, but you can only learn the practice of praying sometimes when your back is up against the wall and you don't know what to do. You must see your trial is only training. Amen? And you will make it. You will make it in 2019. Now, God is using these specific nations to engage Israel in what I call, are you able to, yes, you might less down because I don't know if I put it on the screen or not. Lion lessons, L-I-O-N, and bear batters. Lion lessons and bear batters. This is what God is using these nations to teach his own people. What do I mean by that? How many know the story of David? Raise your hand. He got so fed up with the ugly, uncircumcised giant Goliath, defying the people of God, attacking the people of God. So one day he goes to the king. I mean, no, we need to go to the king. And we can say, I'm willing to fight. David said, I'm willing to fight. And the first thing King Saul asked the little boy David, he said, what qualifies you? Well, David, kind of a sheepish little boy, I'm sure he just kind of looked up and said, well, let me tell you a story, King. One day, I was taking care of my father's sheep. And the lion come out of the woods. And he grabbed one of my father's sheep. And I just went over there and just went. Tore it out of the woods open. He said, and the other day, the next day, a bear came out of the woods. And he attacked my father's sheep. And I just went. No more lion. No more bear. As I'm going to tell you what, O King, by this time tomorrow, the uncircumcised giant is going to have the same results as that lion and that bear. But I'm here to tell you, church, it was the lion and bear to get, it was them that got David ready to fight the giant. It was only training. Come on, what's not intended to kill you will only build you. Come on, church, this is not to take you out. It's only to train you on how to fight the enemy. Because what's not designed to kill you will only build you. Right? So if we ever want to fight the giant, we must first take on the lion. We must first take on the bear. Come on. And we must first see the faithfulness of a God. And until what happens, our confidence is cultivated. Or somebody help me for a moment. When we see the lions go down and the bears go down, I mean, no, we're ready for the giant in our life. But you're not ready for the giant if you can't see your trial as training. Amen? I mean, understand that? That's good news. Lion lessons and bear battles are not intended to take you out. They're only to train you. And I think this may be on the screen. There will be Goliaths. I'm prophesying to you right now. There will be Goliaths in 2019. In your future, that only the lions and bears of your past can prepare you for. Can anybody look back on your life and remember some lion lessons you went through? I mean, it's been through some bear battles. Come on. Listen, church, I'm talking about things that, though they agitated you, they also educated you. They agitated you, yes, but they also educated you. Now you're ready for the giant. Amen? So the first thing, please see your trial in 2019 as training. If you do this, we're not going to skip a beat. The church will be packed every Sunday. You have peace and joy in your life. I'm not saying you won't go through conflict. I never said that. No, you're being conditioned for conflict. Right? Number two, see the trial as training. And number two, if you want to be a gladiator, learn the lesson of, I hate to use this word, I don't hate it, bitch. It's hard for me and you. Learn the lesson of obedience. Everybody say obedience. The nations that God left around his own people, I'm going to keep emphasizing that, was to do two things to them. To teach them how to fight and to train them how to obey. And we must learn. In verse 4, look at verse 4. These people were left to test the Israelites, to see whether they will obey the commands of the Lord. They were left to test, to see if they will obey. Now, I'm fixing to talk for a moment about a side of God that I know is hard to perceive in 2019 in the emerging church. But here it is. The more you fail. Now, if you can take this, you're going to be okay the rest of the message, I promise. You're going to be okay. Don't let me lose you. The more you fail to obey God and what he's telling you to do or not to do, the more test, the more trials, and the more turbulences will come to your life. I said, Pastor Will, when you say that, get ready. They're going to be quiet. Because I'm going to tell you why. The church today is not teaching this side of the gospel. Ask Jonah. Ask all of these people in the Bible that failed to do what God was telling them to do or not to do. Trials, tests, and turbulence found them. Amen. I pray that I can make you happy at the end. But How many wants to be a gladiator in 2019? God, show me the things that I need to say yes to. Show me the things I need to say no to. Come on. Learn the lesson of obedience. You may ask, why do we need the presence of our enemies around us in order to learn obedience? Why? Only the answer. Because authentic allegiance is only revealed in times of inconvenience. Can I say it this way? Real commitment. Everybody say real commitment. Only shows up in times of inconvenience. How many has ever been inconvenient or been inconvenienced? One of the most remarkable scriptures you will ever find in the Word of God is one of those wow scriptures. It's found in Hebrews 5:8. When it says Jesus, everybody say Jesus. Everybody say perfect Jesus. Say it one more time, perfect Jesus. He had to learn obedience. Through the things that he what? Suffered. Wow. Jesus, the Son of God, his fleshly man, had to learn obedience through the things that he what? Went through. His inconvenient times. I mean, no, they put a lot of inconvenience in the life of Jesus. By the way, if you don't know, they killed him. They crucified him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Come on, church. He had nowhere to lay his head. They beat him or persecuted him. They put 39 stripes on his back. I mean, no, our God was inconvenienced. But thank God, Jesus was a gladiator and he was a lamb that was led to the slaughter, but he never opened his mouth. Come on. He knew how to fight. Inconvenience shows up. Listen, if it's not hurting your flesh to do it, don't miss this. It's probably not helping your spirit, man, to do it. If it's not hurting your flesh to do it, it's probably not allowing your spirit man to grow. Right? Fasting. Woo! I don't like fasting. Hey, y'all get to know I like to eat. Not until. Look, I got the fruit to prove it. Fasting hurts. Right? Doing the will of God. I mean, no, it's easy to say you're with me when it doesn't cost you nothing to be with me. Everybody say inconvenience. It's easy to come to church on your schedule, but what if you don't feel like it? Oh, can I get an amen? It's easy to worship God when everything's going right. It's easy to give more when you got a little extra. Right? Can I tell you what the church of God is always built on? It will always be built on and will never change. Faithful men and women. They're always here. Every service. I said every service. And that's why you can come. And that's why you can enjoy. Come on. The church has always been built on gladiators, men and women that knew how to press through their own feelings. Oh, somebody help me preach. Wow. Nothing less would do, or the church would not exist. Church would not be here for people. And when you come through these doors, we're all trained to be gladiators. Amen? It's good, isn't it? Modern day theology, along with the spirit of this age, you know what we've done? We've eliminated the gospel of suffering. But can I tell you something? You can never be trained in gladiating through things. Right? I mean, wants to know what a true gladiator does. Raise your hand. He fights through when it's inconvenient to come to church. Come on. I would say that again. He fights through when it's inconvenient to come to church. He fights through when it's inconvenient to tithe. He fights through when it's inconvenient, I'm getting personal, to forgive that person. Come on. A gladiator fights through the inconvenience to keep his mouth shut and turn the other cheek. What did you come out to hear today? Right? A gladiator fights through the sleepiness and the tiredness, and he gets into the Word and he prays. Oh, somebody help me. That's what gladiators do. They're disciplined and trained to fight. And listen, church, we don't fight each other. We do not fight flesh and blood. Oh, man, social media is awful. My Lord. I'm here to tell you, we don't fight flesh and blood. We fight against demons and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. That way, war. But if the devil can keep us down here, we'll never get to up here. Come on. And we have to learn how to fight. We have to learn how to go through things, being conditioned for the conflict, right? Learn the obedience. Inconvenience. Everybody say that word. I'm almost done with that. Inconvenience shows us things about ourselves. Come on, I'm pointing to myself. Don't miss this. I want everybody to get this. Inconvenience shows us things about ourselves. This buried deep. Right? Not easily detected. Just because it's deep doesn't mean it's not dangerous. Come on. When we're inconvenienced, oh boy. Oh boy. That's when things come out, right? How many can at least get honest and say, oh me? Because real commitment only shows up an inconvenience. Or in other words, we're just actually saying that I'm just going to serve God the way I feel. Still, I mean, no feelings will get us in trouble. Right? Come on. I'm still amazed. I'm amazed how Jesus did it. I'm amazed that he was the lamb that was led to the slaughter and opened not his mouth. Isn't that why we come to church? Isn't that why we come to church? To develop the fruit of the Spirit and to endure conflict and to be gladiators? Come on. They're on the same team. Team Jesus, come on. Team Bridge of Hope, come on. Now, God never shows us, love is love for us. His grace and his mercy. God never shows us the ugly things in us that condemn us. It's only his sovereign mercy because he's trying to equip us to fight so we can get to the next level. Because, honey, if you don't know by now, new levels, new devils. New levels. See, some of you have been fighting the same old devil for 25 years. And he wants to see another side of the devil so you can kick him. Same thing. Watch this. Some of us have been fighting the same thing for a long time. Right? Now watch this. Some of us will never know what Goliath looks like until we learn obedience. But can I tell you something? Trust me. Goliath is big. He's bad. And he's ugly. Goliath is big, bad, and ugly. And God loves us so much. Do not miss this. God wants to show us our weak areas so we will not run up on Goliath thinking that we are better with a rock than what we thought we was. Because God will actually allow us in his own sovereign mercy to miss Goliath in this season of our life. Watch this. And if we can learn obedience and get through the embarrassment and our own ego and our own always blaming others for drama, come on, then he may allow us to love Goliath in the next season of our life. It's only God's love for you that he doesn't allow you to see Goliath. I mean, no, the devil is nothing. But at the same time, there's an ugly side of him. I mean, what I'm talking about. I mean, Holy Ghost tongue talking Christians we have in the house. Oh, I'm not. If you get offended at people, you're not even close to where God wants you to be. Oh, somebody help me teach. I'm talking about at midnight when demons are tormenting you and telling you your children is not going to make it. Your spouse is not going to make it. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about. How many seen that side of that ugly giant that is grotesque and demonic? But if we keep not passing the small test and being inconvenienced and just live our own life the way we want to, we're never going to see that. So, I mean, wants to learn obedience. Amen. All of us should cry out, God, show me my ugliness. Don't make me think I'm thinking of the one I really am. Come on, don't let me go to war thinking that I've got this. Don't let me take on more than what I can bear. God, show me what I need to work on. Come on. God, don't allow me to think that everybody around me is rock solid when maybe they're shifting sand. God, show me. Don't let me fall into this trap. God, how about this one? God, show me that as long as I keep getting offended, the drama and conflict and gossip will always keep finding me. It's not going to leave you alone. It's coming. I mean, the Holy Ghost just dropped this in my spirit. How many wants to fight a new devil this year? Be careful. If you don't have the basics down pat, you won't make it. Now, how many wants to fight your new devil? Come on. Because with every breakthrough comes another level of God. If we in your church, it comes another level of God. In this house, if we can defeat and get through the lion lessons and the bear battles, I'm here to tell you, in 2019, we're going to see the trial is only training. We're going to learn obedience and watch out. The demons will really be scared then, because they're really not scared of a good worship team. They're not scared of a good preacher. I want to tell you what they're scared of is when men or women of God become gladiators. Come on. How many gladiators do I have in the house? The last thing, how many would give me 10 more minutes? Number 3, don't miss the hiss of the snake for the roar of the lion. If you want to be a gladiator, do not miss the hiss of the snake for the roar of the lion. The Word of God uses two metaphors for Satan uses more, but there's two that he uses more often. The devil, Satan, or enemy. And they're both in the animal kingdom. A lion and then this lion. In the New Testament, we know that Peter says Satan is like a what? He's not the one lion. How many know there's only one lion? He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. But how many know Satan copies God? And Peter said he's like as of a roaring lion. But in the Old Testament, how many know he started out as a serpent or a snake? Everybody say snake. I mean, you know, it's hard to miss the roar of a lion. But I mean, you know, it's easy to miss the hiss of a snake. Right? We have a tendency to think that the dangerous things only comes in big packages. Now, you hear me? But I mean, you know, the most dangerous things come in small packages. I mean, no, it's the little foxes that what? A lion roars. A snake hisses. But guess what? They both can kill you. You cannot miss a roar, but you can miss a hiss. Tell your neighbor right now, don't miss the hiss. In 2009 this morning, don't miss. Yes. How many honest people I have this morning? You say, Pastor Roy, I can look back on my life and see the times I got snake bitten. Because you know why? It wasn't the roar of the lion that I missed, but it was the hiss of the snake that I missed. Oh, somebody help me. It was that small thing that I kept ignoring and chalking up. It's not a real problem. But now this thing is hissing, and now this thing is roaring, and it's bigger than what I even thought. So number one, see the trial's training. Number two, learn obedience. And last but not least, do not miss the hiss of the snake because of the roar of the lion. Let us all, I mean, raise your hand and grab a hold of this right now. Let us all be disciplined in 2019. Come on, church. Let us be conditioned for the conflict. Let us pass the test so we can face new devils. Because it's not that we want to face new devils. Hear me close. We're not glorifying the enemy. But I may know to get to where God wants us to get to, tie a whole nother level in the Holy Ghost and the kingdom of God for this house. We have to fight the enemy. Because where there's opportunity, there's always opposition. Look at your neighbor and say, don't miss the hiss. Pastor Roy, what does that have to do with this text as I close? I'm fixing to tell you. Remember all these nations? Can I name them to you? Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and Termites. Watch this. We discovered that the hiss of the snake that the children of Israel ignored came in the form of these nations. How many know? Ites bites. All these ites in the Bible, all these ites in the Old Testament, God put them there because he's telling us that ites bites. Right? I mean, he's been bitten by a ite. Oh, somebody help me teach this morning. All of these ites. And look what happens. Everybody goes, sss. Here's what happened. He left the enemies around to train them. But instead of allowing them to train them, they actually became a part of them. And in verse 6, and they intermarried with them. Oh, God help us. Israelite sons marry their daughters. Israelite daughters were given in marriage to their sons. And the Israelites served their gods. Let me come against any false doctrine mindset of people today. This is not talking about natural intermarriage at all. Don't even go there. If you do, you're racist. What it's talking about is being spiritually unequally yoked. Now watch this. All of the ites, how many know there's a lot of ites in the church? And the Israelites began to serve. Story over. The Israelites began to serve their God. Everybody say idolatry. All of these ites that could represent, it could, I'm just saying it could, that came a unique attack from the enemy. In other words, the Canaanites could have been representing being unequally yoked in your relationship. Can I hear amen? The Hittites could represent the social drinking club that thinks it's okay to sip a little and sip on the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, it's not okay. Alcohol destroys families and will destroy your witness. The Amorites could represent lust and pornography that destroys marriages, that destroys young men's minds. I heard Dr. David Jeremiah. I love that guy. He said something so simple but profound today. I want every young person to listen to me and every adult. You cannot fight sexual temptation, and you're not called to fight it. You're called to flee from it. Did you catch that? The reason why the Bible never commissioned you to fight against it is because you can't. You have to flee from it. How many know Joseph who fled from Potiphar's wife? Oh, come on. You need some Adidas on to outrun the devil sometime. You don't need to stand and fight some things. The Bible says flee fornication. Run from it. Get out of the room. Get out of the car. You're no match for it. Bible says you can't take fire into your bosom and not be burned. You have to flee from it. Some things you just have to run from. Right? And I mean, no, in that, you did end up fighting. Are you hearing me? You won the fight. The parasites could represent unforgiveness, depression. The Hittites, I'm almost done. The Hittites could represent, for some of you, you just find it difficult to be faithful to church. God loves you. And I'm going to tell you, there is a walk in God that you can have, that it is never a help question. I'm just trying to help you kill new devils this year. Or you can just keep battling in that same old devil. It's up to you. I know y'all came the first Sunday of the year thinking, oh, wow, we're going to be glad. It was Pastor Roy's going to preach me happy, and we're going to have a great year. We will when we take this message and apply it to our life. Amen. I mean, wants to go to the next level. The Jebusites, I'm done. The Jebusites could represent a lying, gossiping tongue. Can I leave you with this thought? If they will talk to you about somebody else, that means they will talk about you to everybody else. Don't be deceived. God told me to say that because some of you are dealing with this. Drama follows you everywhere you go. But I'm here to tell you that if they would talk to you about somebody else, they will talk about you to everybody else. Amen. Everybody goes, I mean, wants to have a great new year. I want you to stand. I preached long today. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I want us to stand. Worship team, come and without moving around. Everybody say gladiator. Now, can you say it like you're one? How many gladiators do I have in the house? We'll find out more about gladiators. Pastor Roy, why did you pick that word? Simply because they were willing to die. And how many is willing to die for this thing? If you're not, then bless you and hope the best. But I mean, wants to go to that next place in the Lord. How many can use a change in your family? A change in your atmosphere? A change in your marriage? Come on. One of the greatest desires for any pastor or shepherd that kind of gets him on the first Sunday of the year is this. My greatest prayer is on the last Sunday of this year, I see every one of your faces. Unless we bless the ministry and send them out to start another work, that's biblical. Other than that, if you do consider yourself a member of this house, the greatest blessing any pastor can have is to see the same faces at the end of the year on the last Sunday. And guess what? Here's something profound and deep. If we can say, yes, we can, then at the end of this year, we couldn't put them in the balcony. There'd be no place to put them. Does that make sense? Or, Brother Tyler, here's what happens. If some of them don't get this word, and they still come to church 50% of the time, or ever when they feel like it, or they want to act out and have drama and hurt other people's feelings and all that, then guess what? They'll always be coming and out, in and out. God is doing something special in the house. Would you raise your hands today? Right where you stand, to commit yourself to this year. Commit yourself to the Lord. Commit your life. Commit your heart. Commit your decisions. Commit your behavior. Commit your lifestyle. I want you to do something. I want you to open your mouth and pray this prayer. If you really mean it, Jesus, condition me for the conflict. Prepare me, God. Let me be ready. I want to see a side of you, God, this year that I've never seen before. Today. God, show me a side of you I've never seen before. But in order to do so, I must fight some devils and get them out of my life that I've been fighting a long time. If you can commit yourself to that, would you come quickly, just a few moments before we let you go, and just commit yourself afresh to be that gladiator in 2019.